James, good evening.
Here we are.
Here we are again. Did we just talk to each other?
We did.
Multiple times. Many times.
At least once a week for the past many times. Years.
Wow. Wow. There's not enough Xanax. There just isn't.
Yeah, no.
Okay, so we are here. We have a guest, so we have to be nice to each other a little bit. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, at least a start.
We'll start. So James reached out to one of the breweries that has turned him into the man that he is today out in Wisconsin.
Don't blame Alex. It's not his fault that I'm such a grumpy bastard.
I was going to say you can take that in many different ways. I just kind of softballed it out there. So Alex, thank you for Alex from Lion's Tail in, I'm going to pronounce this wrong. Nina.
Well done.
Yep. Okay. Not bad. So Alex, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
So I guess we should jump in with, well, before we jump in, I got to open my beer on mic because that's what we do. Oh man, the smell coming out of this. So this is a,
I like the look on your face. You're like, oh man, like, and then you're like, you were going to try to convince me it was a good thing.
it's a, wow. I don't know what that is. Alex, we talk a lot about beer and beer styles, and we will get into that. But one of the things that we talk about quite a bit are these new trends toward milkshakes and smoothies and whatnot. And I confess that until just this week, I've never really had something that's one of these heavy milkshakes. So there's a place near me here in Connecticut called Skygazer that I was complaining about recently, having never tried their beer. And this is Watercolors Abstract 4. It's a Berliner Weiss with banana, cherry, raspberry. I'm turning the can to continue reading. Graham cracker, marshmallow, and milk sugar, which the listeners know I hate lactose in my beer. And this pours like I don't know what I'm looking at. So that's what I'm drinking tonight.
So chunks in there? Okay.
It's, I think I do need a strainer of some sort. I don't know.
Anyway, thanks, Alex, for being here. And we want to know all things about your brewery, Lion's Tail. And, you know, you're Nina, like Greg said, and you and I've known each other for, I don't know, several years.
I'm going to say seven, because before, when we were at a brewery and planning in 2015, I came out to the farm.
Oh, and, that's right.
Yeah, you were good enough to sort of plug me into the pipeline a little bit, not only with hop supply, but also with introducing me to a couple really good brewers, and gave me a great start and a nice tour of your place.
You're but making yeah, me sound six, like six... a nice guy. I'm not. Don't. I have so much work to do now.
You were that day. I don't know. Maybe you were just salesman mode.
Yeah, probably.
He was exactly probably hadn't slept in like 3 days, so he didn't know how else to behave.
It was delirious. Yeah. And so that's kind of where it started. And you were, for those of you who don't know where Nina is, where can we say Oshkosh area ish?
It's on
River Valley.
Yep, north end of Lake Winnebago. If you live in Wisconsin, if you're out of Wisconsin, it's south of Green Bay.
South of Green Bay for all those listeners in Sao Paulo. They'll know exactly. They're like, oh yeah, okay, sure. We know right where that place is.
Everyone outside of
Sao Paulo, it's north of Chicago.
No, there you go.
Yeah,
and not quite into Canada. So you're in that range.
See, and everyone outside of Wisconsin hearing south of Green Bay just assumes you're wearing a cheesehead right now, because that's the only frame of reference anyone else has.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, that is totally fair.
But Nina's a small, medium town, and we're right in downtown, next to the clock tower in this 115-year-old insurance company building, and just a neat old historic building, and we jammed a brewery in it, and 6.5 years later, doing pretty good and still having fun.
That's important. Yeah. Both of those things are actually important, not one over the other. They're both very important. I find your Lion's Tail story pretty cool. So I don't know if you want to give us the, as much story background of Lion's Tale and how you started it and sort of your background and how you how do you find yourself where you find yourself now?
All right. Stop me if I'm talking all day, because I love I love talking about. But I was a chemical engineer for a 17-year career out of school, in mostly in Wisconsin, but I traveled around helping out customers, you know, fix problems and as kind of a consultant, and enjoyed that a lot. And I think I did too well where the company I worked for made me a manager. And instead of solving customers' problems and enjoying my job, I was, you know, taking big company policies and managing a team of people. And I liked it less and less by the year, even though I was doing pretty well with it. Meanwhile, most of the people I work with, I think it's kind of an engineering thing doing home brewing. Everybody's talking about brewing beer in their basement, in their garage. And at some point I gave in. My in-laws heard me talking about it all the time and bought me a homebrew kit. And, a few years of that, it took over the basement. My wife and I went on a trip to Traverse City, Michigan, actually, and, had a great several experiences traveling around at the different tap rooms. And, that was the same point when neighbors started saying, you know, this beer's getting really good, you know, you could sell this. And that's kind of when it happened, when we decided that we would open a brewery. And my wife's been great enough to work at a job throughout, you know, with you know, to keep the thing funded and going. And she's provided a lot of the vision for the place, and been a great partner throughout, even if she's not there with me that often. But that was in 2015. We built a 10 barrel brew house, and the first year I think we made around 200 barrels, and we've slowly expanded and filled the space we're in, and this last year we did just shy of 1400 barrels. And it's, if you've not heard of it or been there, it's a tap room. We don't have a restaurant. We've got a neighbor called Broken Tree Pizza that delivers pizzas to our place as if we had our own kitchen, which is a nice partnership. But because we're not a restaurant, we need to give people reasons to keep coming and seeing us all the time. And we make it more about trying different beers when you come see us. So we've evolved into a brewery that does all kinds of different styles. We're generally the first brewery in Wisconsin to do all the newer styles. You know, in 2022, we did 2021, we did 78 different beers. So it's fun, and our customers love it because they're trying different things. Yeah. But there's only a few beers that I get to make more than once and try and hone and perfect. And so it's good and bad. It's a lot of fun and a fast pace, but you know, it's the complete opposite of that European brewery, family brewery that's perfected that recipe over a course of 100 years, you know?
Sure.
And I guess to finish the story, we just purchased a property in Wauwatosa, which is a west suburb of Milwaukee. And we're currently under construction with our second location of a tap room and a second brewery.
Cool.
So we're hoping to have that ready by mid-August, early September.
Awesome. Nice.
Yeah.
That is great. And, you know, to your point about all the different styles that you do, I was looking at your tap list earlier today and getting thirsty, because that's what happens. And I mean, if I had read a tap list for, at least near me, a lot of the breweries are very small. If I had seen a tap list that said cream ale, dunkel, blonde, light lager, Vienna lager, I would have said, outstanding. I'll be right over. But for someone like me, that's perfect. But then there are another, you know, six or eight beers on that list, like a carrot cake milkshake and all kinds of other things. Never mind the seltzers you're doing.
Sorry, James.
But I guess my point just being that you're almost multiple breweries in one in terms of who you're catering to. You've got options there. If I'm in the mood for something classic like a Dunkel or a Vienna Lager, it's there. And I love the fact that you're able to hit both of those very, I will say, binary audiences. Although maybe not. And to James's question earlier, you know, yeah, we'd love to learn more about the audience or the audiences. My bias is that those are not the same people, but I could be wrong. Yeah. I am one of those people, like you mentioned, who just likes to try whatever is new. I tend to lean back to the classic things, but at the local places by me, and there aren't that many because I'm not in Wisconsin, but I will always try whatever the new thing is on tap just because I want to.
Except, Greg, your flight consists of 16-ounce pours of, like, you know, eight things on tap. Just, you know, you got to get a good taste.
I will neither confirm nor deny that. And in case anyone's curious, I don't hate what I'm drinking right now. It reminds me of, remember when mom used to make Jell-O, like you'd try to drink some of it before she put it in the container to cool? That's what this tastes like. It's Jell-O before it is solidified. And I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm going to have to clean this glass with like fire, I think.
I like that. Yeah. So I'm very intrigued by that same sort of, you call it a dichotomy, Greg. And mm-hmm. And Alex, it's one of the things I was really eager to talk to you about is, I mean, personal preferences aside, you make what you make because it brings people into your place, right? Like you said, you're not a restaurant. Right. You need a driver to bring people in the door and to keep them coming back. Yeah. I mean, Nina's not a huge place, right?
Right.
So it's like, how do you make that into, you know, that person's spot, right? This is my patch. This is where I go, my place, and keep them engaged. And I think the answer is, well, you do that through how many 78 different beers that you ran through. Yeah. And I mean, how did you land there? Like, is that something that you had in mind when you started, or is it something that evolved? No. Okay.
Yeah. Evolution. And I went back and looked at my business plan that I presented to a bank way back when, and
isn't that fun?
Yeah, it's very fun. Some things I can't believe how prescient I was, and was really close. Some of the numbers were actually even close, but some of the things, you know, 6 to 8 beers with one seasonal, and you know, It slowly happened over the course of the last 6.5 years. It probably started, you know, we first couple of years we were trying some, it was me and a serving staff of a couple of people, bartenders. And so I was trying, I had this pineapple wheat that I did as a home brewer and everybody loved that. So I made that and a Dunkel, which I was my favorite to drink that I made, as a home brewer. So we had those two and then, you know, 3 or 4 other beers, and I would try different styles and just kind of see what people like, have some variety. And I found that people, when we would release a new beer every, you know, month or so, maybe every month or two, we would have a really good week of sales. People would come in and enjoy, you know, bring their friend and say, oh, we both wanted to try this new one. So then I hired my first full-time employee, Eric. He's my, now my sales manager, and he loved this new thing called New England IPA. And this was in, I guess, 2016 or 17 when nobody in Wisconsin had ever made one. And he was bringing these, Treehouse, amazing beers in, from Treehouse, and mm-hmm. we would try them and talk about them. And, as a, you know, my home brewer background, well, I got to try making one. And I think 17 pilot batches later, we had what we thought was pretty good that could stand up to some of the cans he was bringing back from his travels. And that at that point, so we came out with it, people really responded well to it. And that, I think, kind of gave me some confidence to let's start trying this, let's start trying that. And when another new trend came up, let's say like a Brut IPA from the West Coast, I want to be the first one in Wisconsin to brew that. And, you know, and then the slushy thing and same deal. So it's just kind of gone from there. And like you say, we aren't a restaurant. We're not a draw because of that. So we just need to give people as many good reasons to come back and keep seeing us and trying something. And when you make 78 beers, that's one or two new beers every week. And even our regulars are always treated to several new beers when they, you know, when they come back versus last time. So, so we try things, we keep our ears open. We ask, we talk a lot to customers and, but we try a lot of different things. And, one other thing I think that's contributed to us going this way was we're in, the Appleton area or the Fox Valley, and it's a very much a historically a blue collar drinking area. And the craft beer scene, I still don't think is anywhere near a lot of the metropolitan areas in the country. And, you know, when we came on and opened in 2015, the model of the tap room just wasn't there yet. There's brew pubs around town, some really nice ones, and they make beers that are good with food and, you know, more European style probably. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so that's our customer base, and it's not the typical craft beer scene that probably a lot of your listeners are used to. So we've tried to evolve that a little bit, and try some new things and so forth. But it's been difficult, versus, you know, converting the drinkers to, mm-hmm. to trying different things. And so there's certain beers that do that better than others and will get people to try something different than a light lager. And you've kind of been making fun of the slushies and the New England IPAs, but those are two really perfect examples of mm-hmm. getting people that don't drink craft beers to try stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My wife is not a beer drinker, and she's not here right now, but I wish she was here to taste this because I think she would go for it. It is we can get into later the fact that it's not actually beer.
It's not.
I've thought, you know, about a dozen other questions as you were telling that bit there, Alex, because it's like on one side, it's like you talked about how it's, you know, legacy wise, it's a very blue collar drinking area, but now you're bringing these, I mean, you're coming at these people with some really crazy stuff, right? That's yeah. new, not just new to them and to the area, but probably new to the state, certainly when you're getting involved. And that's like, it's really interesting to me. It's like, how does that work?
Yeah. And at the same time, you have PBR on your guest tap list,
right?
So you're aiming wide.
Well, I'll stop you right there. So we did kind of a fun thing this week. Typically January, February is a little bit slower. So we thought what would be fun to try and engage some new customers. And back to my other point, you know, we always, since we don't have this huge population of craft beer drinkers, we have to find ways to get new people into our place and try. Sure. And every fall we do an Oktoberfest. And I think that's one great thing that's been brought a lot of people who aren't craft beer drinkers in, and they think, oh, this is cool. And then they bring their friends and it slowly happens that way. But, you know, this week we did we're calling it Tavern Week, and we're doing a lot of the typical Midwest small town tavern type of things, you know, and trying to give our customers some different experiences and maybe reach some new customers. So we put on PBR and I think Busch Light, and we're doing pull tabs, and we're giving away, you know, logo glassware from the old style guy. And so it's trying some fun stuff. That's usually not on the menu.
You're not doing a meat raffle, are you?
No, but that did come up as an idea.
Sorry, guys, for those of you not in Wisconsin, it's a thing.
A meat raffle.
Yes.
So, so anyway, but you know, that's, you know, that's the beer drinking culture in our area that we're working with. And, we're just trying to reach more and more people and get them to try things. And, I guess a good example of trying something, we were the first one to do this, the Brut IPA. My wife and I had gone on a vacation to San Francisco, in wine country, and and I tried several of them and had heard about it as a new trend, came back and brewed one that I thought was pretty good example of the style. And it works out there that, you know, people love dry white wines, and it turns out in Wisconsin, you know, we have a sweet tooth, and that one hit that one didn't hit so well. You know, people enjoyed trying it, but they weren't ordering that second pint and telling their friends.
Right.
But we tried it. We gave, you know, people in the area and our customer base, an experience. And, you know, we didn't ever make that style again. But that's a kind of a good example of, well, let's try this new thing that some people are talking about. Let's try and make a really good example of it and show people. And then if people like it, maybe we tweak it and do something different with it and evolve it, and maybe we just never make it again, you know. So that's kind of a good example of how we try things and just see what people like.
Do you find that, you know, I keep coming back to this idea of two customer bases. I don't know why, but I mean, do you find that you've got folks that are there for the something new every week, and you've got other folks that are there because they love your Dunkel? Which should be on a t-shirt.
I would say so. Some, you know, it's a weird thing. I think real beer drinkers are embarrassed to admit that they want to try something different, and even more embarrassed to admit that they like it.
Yep.
You know, and, you know, we never try and judge anybody, including ourselves. You know, we, like you said, we just made this carrot cake milkshake, and my grandfather's rolling over in his grave. You know, that ain't beer, son. You know? And, but it's fun.
Yeah.
And it's kind of one of those love it or hate it. But it's fun. And, you know, people came in, maybe they just tried a little 5-ounce flight taster sample of it. And it's a conversation piece. It's fun, you know.
Sure.
And, but to your point, Greg, you know, you looked at our tap list, we've got 6 or 7 or 8 classic styles that we try and do a really good job with. Sometimes maybe we try and do a little different take on something. We just did an Irish red ale with a little bit of oak aging to it. We did some oak spirals that we soaked in Tullamore Dew for a while. And it's part gimmick, but it did give a little bit of flavor and a little bit of complexity to the Irish red. So that one's a fun one. But it's a classic style. And so we do both, and we've had up to 24 different Lion's Tail beers on tap. Right now I think we're at about 17 or 18, but you know, there's something for everybody, when you come in.
It's not an IPA shop, right? It's a wide variety of stuff. And I appreciate that for sure.
Matter of fact, I'm kind of ashamed. I realized the other day, I think we have 1 or 2 IPAs on, and I think they're both hazy. So, you know, we don't have a classic IPA. So, we're definitely not an IPA shop, but we need to, you know, we'll soon have several more. We recognize that, and we'll fix it.
Well, I mean, but you've got to be going where the, where your customers tell you to go, right? Or are you, right. I mean, it's not like you're leading them or they're leading you. I understand it's kind of a, you take leads from each other in terms of what you decide to do. They're not going to, or maybe they will, shouldn't speak out of turn, but tell you that they want more carrot cake. I'm not even going to say it. But how do you take your cues? Or is it, you're not necessarily that, you don't feel like you're required to really dig into the cues that your customers are giving you other than what they're drinking, like in a gross sense, right? Like, oh, that they're really liking these milkshake styles, or they're really liking these hazy styles, or they're really liking the classic styles. So I'll go that direction.
And you're talking gross in terms of aggregation, not ooh, that's gross, right?
Yeah. Depends on if we're talking the milkshakey stuff or not. But in just in general, because one of the things that it just fascinates me is, and we've had several episodes on like trends and how the classic sort of chicken and the egg, where the brewer says, I brew what customers want, and the customers say, I drink what the brewer brews. And it's like, this just didn't start this way. Somebody has to flinch, right? So it's like, how does this work? And yeah. I don't think there's an answer, like a perfect answer, but like for you, how does it work?
So we've got a really good staff. We're now at 8 full-timers at Lionsdale, and they're all here with us because they love craft beer. And, you know, as you guys know, there's not a ton of money in this business. You know, nobody's retiring early and building huge houses on the beer industry. It's people that love craft beer, and they, you know, we've got a great team. And so we pull together a diverse group of tastes. Everybody's big fans of beer, and they're trying stuff. They're hearing what the trends are on the coasts or in Denver or the big, you know, craft beer meccas. And what if we tried this? And so we'll get together and have a lot of brainstorming sessions and, you know, some real off the wall ideas. Our culture is, we try and promote ideas and try not to shoot anything down at first. You know, we try and just put it out there and come up with some creative, interesting ideas, something that we would want to drink. And that's kind of how we get ideas. We also will once in a while throw out a social media post just asking for our customers to suggest, what do you want us to make? You know, what would you love to see from Lion's Tail? And that always comes up with some cool ideas. Mm-hmm. And we talk to our customers a lot too. And so it's a combination of everything. You know, we're big fans of beer. So we try a lot of things, talk to a lot of people. We keep our ears open. And then from there, we'll just try things. And yeah. It doesn't always work. I shouldn't give any examples, but two or three of those 78 we made last year, not coming back next year, yeah. You know, but we tried something, and I think people appreciate, okay, this is interesting. You didn't just, go on Untappd and look what the top rated beer styles were and make 7 of each of the 3 different popular beer styles that are trending, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, so, we try some things, and some of them work really well, some don't, and you know, you learn and you move on, and but hopefully our customers find them interesting and want to keep coming to see us. And
well, I mean, I think that's pretty evident, don't you? I mean, that's, you've got a second location you're working on, so I mean, something's working for you. And I really do love the fact that you try so much new stuff, right? And you're not afraid to pivot, and you're not entrenched in a mentality, a methodology. This is we are a malt forward brewery only, and that's the only thing we're ever going to make, or we're never making a lager, or we're, you know, that kind of thing, where you're willing to give it a shot, right? And keep it fun and keep it bright. And this is coming from a classical beer style guy, right? I appreciate what you do.
That was hard for him to say. He rehearsed that in front of the mirror, by the way.
Well, I try never to say, I try not to say I'll never do this or I'll never do that. Mm-hmm. Having said that, I did at one point say I'll never make a pumpkin beer. I think we're going to make a pumpkin beer this fall. So
never say never.
My previous career, you know, turned me into a data guy, and I, you know, we try things, and you know, we let the kind of numbers tell us and the customers tell us, you know, what's working, what's not, what should we try, and you know, we'll try something, and sometimes it doesn't sell, and you know, we learn from that. So we're always listening and learning. I hopefully even 6.5 years in, you start to think, okay, I've got this figured out a little bit, but I, you know, we're always, you know, telling ourselves, let's keep learning, you know, we'll never know everything. So let's keep learning and asking questions and evolving. So mm-hmm.
James, what's the beer you asked Alistair to make?
Oh, what was it? I don't remember now. So Alex, we have this for our Patreon members, or that basically, yes, people pay us money. Can you believe that? To listen to us.
And then I use it to buy things like this. I mean,
right,
I don't know.
Yeah. And send me beer from Connecticut. But we have this sort of add-on little podcast we do called Backyard Brew Farm, where we talk about all these esoteric ingredients that one could put in beer. And it was what was it
basil?
Oh man,
no, we're gonna have to figure, because this I mean, Alex is basically willing to try anything.
Well, so I think Alex needs to get some acorns up in there.
Well, yeah, I think acorns is one of the next ones we're doing.
Acorns would probably be a cool combo with the pumpkin beer that I swore I'd never do.
See, I'm telling you, right?
And I'm so surprised that you've never done a pumpkin beer, given how popular those are. And you know there are people who would walk in during that time frame and say, oh, pumpkin, yeah. So that's sort of a gimme. Well, and that would be me. I have never met a pumpkin beer I wouldn't try and then complain about afterwards. I have such high hopes for pumpkin beer, and it never satisfies me the way
never it lands.
Nope. Yeah. Never lands. I'm starting to think the problem is me.
No. Pshaw.
But yeah, so we talk about all kinds of different ingredients and things. It's I'm amazed with the 78 different beers. So you made a comment at the very beginning when you were telling us about when you mentioned the 78 beers last year, that you rarely get to go back to the well and try things again. So, you know, as a artist, for lack of a better term, I mean, this is science, but it's also quite a bit of art in all the things that you're doing. How do you scratch that itch? I mean, are you more of a experimental person and less of a perfectionist, I guess, is the question, where you don't really need to go back once you've gotten something to the point where, you know what, I like the way this beer came out, but next time I'm going to take a left turn with it because I can? Or is there anything you really do want to come back to?
Yeah, I mean, we've probably have 4 or 6 beers that we could do year round. And so those are where I get to tweak and try and, you know, perfect them over time. The other ones, I think personally, I am probably more of a perfectionist by nature, but when you do that many beers, you have to give it your best shot and be okay with it and learn from it and move on. You know, when we were first doing all these, you know, starting to do more different styles, I would run our pilot system and make many different versions of it before we'd make a 10 or a 15 or a 20 barrel batch of it. I'll still do that from time to time on something that's really off the wall. But at some point, when you make that many beers, there's no way I can make that many pilot pilot batches. So, and you learn a lot of things along the way, and you know what you can get away with and what you can't. So I don't know. It's a little bit of both. But I really envy those beers that have been made for years and years and are perfected. And, you know, as much as the beer consumer now wants to try all these different things and what's new, you know, people are still buying all kinds of, you know, these top five craft beers, you know, the Two Hearted and, you know, that I just mentioned that because that's my favorite that I'll always go to on the shelf.
Yeah. Straight up old school Fat Tire. I mean,
yeah,
just go for that
Fat Tire. Exactly. Yep. And people keep coming back to them. And a lot of people say that we're heading sort of off this new beer every week and heading back towards, favorites and stable beers. And I think a little bit of both is kind of where I see us going. Mm-hmm. I still want to keep trying new things all the time, but I'd love to really perfect some beers and have someone, you know, when they're traveling say, oh, if you're in Wisconsin, you've got to go try Lion's Tale. They make this Czech Pilsner that's amazing, or, you know,
yeah,
whatever style it is.
Greg, that beer was a rye sage ale.
Sage.
Right. Yep. So Alex, I'll be looking for that one coming soon.
I just saw an article about brewing with sage. It was in one of the big Zymergy or one of the big, the Brewers Association magazine, maybe. So maybe it's a new thing.
Hey, some backyard brew farm first.
Yeah, because we published that a couple of weeks ago. So either they stole it from us or we stole it from them. I don't know. Could go either way.
Yeah, that's okay.
Again, I look at your tap list and I'm going, I need to try some of these things. I'll be out there in a month. Okay. So I'll see if I can get James to drag me over there.
Yeah.
During our spare time. So you mentioned that you're staffing up. Are you the sole brewer, or do you have other folks that get to get in there and play?
Yep. We just hired our third brewer. So, you know, I get in there as much as I can, but, you know, we're working on expanding pretty aggressively now into the second location. So I've been fairly busy with that. So our staff, our brew staff does a lot of the day-to-day brewing and packaging, and I'm in there as much as I can and helping and so forth. But yeah, that's part of growth, right? You train and you trust good people to do it like you do it. And so that's kind of where we are right now. Once we set up the Wauwatosa location, we'll have another brewer and eventually a brew staff there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that does, to your point, that is a lot of trust to let go a bit. The other folks that are brewing with you, I mean, is there someone who is the hazy person and there's someone else who's the classical person, or are you all kind of the same mindset of, I'm going to close my eyes and pull some stuff off the shelf and see what happens?
Yeah, no, I mean, everybody kind of has their own preferences, and that's what's fun when we get together and brainstorm, or maybe we'll do a taste test of something that's in process and, you know, kind of figure out where we're going to go with this beer. Everybody's got a different perspective, and that's where it's fun, just to play with people's different tastes. And we kind of have a subject expert for each type of beer. You know, we've got our brewer Emily is really into sours. You know, Jeff, our head brewer, is allergic to hops, you know, or thought he was. And so, you know, but he loves the malty beer. So we kind of all have our different specialties and what we like. And so it's fun to just talk beer and to try beers and talk about what we like and what we don't like and where we want to take it.
Cool. Nice. I've got loads more questions for you, but I don't want to consume your entire evening.
It's up to you. I've got all night. I got a beer here and Actually, I'm drinking one of our actual real beers. It's Czech Pilsner.
Oh yeah.
Yep. It's called Czech Please. So
yep.
Nice.
But
yeah, I think fire away. I'm done with this one.
You done with that one?
I'm gonna hurl some funky color here.
We'll have to see if we can get some of Alex's beer, Greg, for when you're out here. And
I think we will have to. Yeah.
Yeah.
We will probably cut this into two separate weeks, into two separate episodes, because there was so much to talk about.